Joining us in the studio on Static this evening, we say Happy New Year and welcome into Sydney, Holly Herndon.
Hi, thanks. Great to be here.
Nice to see you. And are you feeling refreshed for 2020?
Feeling slightly jet lagged, but working towards feeling refreshed.
But you actually broke up the long trip from Berlin, right? You went to Asia first?
I did. I stopped off in Hong Kong and then Taipei, and it was really amazing. Beautiful hiking in Taiwan.
It must be amazing to escape a Berlin winter and go somewhere like that for a few days.
Yeah, really. It's the darkness. Like, it gets dark at 3 p.m. in Berlin, and it's just so depressing. So it's nice to be in this hemisphere for a little bit.
Is it important for you also, Holly, as someone who surrounds herself with technology, as we all do, to actually get off the grid every now and then and do those?
It is. I think it's really important. I mean, I grew up in the mountains. I'm from Appalachia. And so I really miss the mountains specifically. So whenever I travel, I try to escape and do some hiking if possible.
Because you're not only a musician, but also a computer programmer. And both fields have converged for your music for a long time now, but particularly on last year's Proto. I mean, was that something that you had always been working towards, sort of using these two fields together, or was it a happy accident?
I don't know if these things are necessarily like conscious decisions that you're always working towards something, but I think I'm just like a naturally curious person. And so I'm always working and then hoping that that kind of culminates in something that makes sense.
Because you've got a PhD in artificial intelligence in music, and you've used coding software to program your own music for a while. So you've been pretty good at incorporating those facets.
Yeah, I've been a computer musician for over 10 years now, so it's obviously a huge part of it. But I wouldn't say that I'm like a really good programmer. I think, you know, the focus for me is still composition. Like, that's always at the forefront. And then I try to find ways to use technology that will get me something that I couldn't get otherwise. So it's very kind of like experimentation or goal oriented.
Do you also feel like you're probably further along with your musical abilities than you are your computer abilities?
Oh, it's funny. I've never tried to rank them. Probably, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe my sense of like aesthetics and concept and communication is probably what I work on the most. So,
because Proto saw you and your partner and collaborator Matt Dryhurst, with a programmer as well, develop this AI program called Spawn, which you then used on the record. So you added it like a processor to help some of the songs come together?
I would describe it more like a performer. So yeah, we worked with Jules Laplace, who's an amazing developer that we met actually in California when we were living there. And yeah, 2016 was a really fruitful year for new kind of software being released around neural networks. So we would go on GitHub and see like what are the new kind of white papers that have been released, and then kind of, you know, install the software, which isn't really like consumer grade, like ready to use software. So it's very kind of like janky. You have to kind of like chain things together. A lot of experimentation, a lot of time spent creating data sets. Yeah, and the first 6 months were pretty fruitless in a way. And then finally we had a breakthrough. We're like, okay, this is something interesting.
So Holly, is it almost like you're the person taking this stuff for a test drive? You're helping them to work out how it can be used?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think music, or especially electronic music, is often kind of in the role of R&D for tech in some ways. But that's also why I really wanted to kind of get my hands dirty with it, because I feel like there was this kind of narrative emerging around artificial intelligence and music that was really focused on looking at past canon, so trying to create infinite Bach or infinite Mozart or all these kind of ideas, and I really wanted to take things in a different direction. So yeah, maybe it is kind of an R&D.
And using Spawn, which is what this system is called, you would input voices, is that right? And then it either mimics them or reproduces them.
So we did a couple different things. Spawn's kind of a metaphor for multiple different processes. But one of the maybe most kind of like clear example is Godmother. And that's really a voice model of my voice. So what I did is I trained Spawn on like hours of my voice. And then, you know, Spawn's not a human intelligence. It's a very limited kind of intelligence. So Spawn's entire world at that moment was my voice. So then once you give Spawn a percussive track, then she can only produce that with my voice, because that's the only world that she knows.
It is like raising a baby. You're the only thing it knows until it gets more influences in its life.
It is, exactly. So Spawn was really raised by myself and the community of musicians that I was with in Berlin.
It's going to have a beautiful life then, Holly. I also noticed you've been calling Spawn a her, so you have humanized it.
Well, I wouldn't say humanized. The reason why I give her female gender pronoun is because the first kind of sounds that I heard out of Spawn sounded like me, because I was training Spawn on my voice, and so I identify as her, and so she sounded like a she to me. But I don't try to humanize her, because I see her as an inhuman intelligence, an other kind of intelligence.
What do you find other people's reactions are when you're telling them you're using this technology? Is there equal parts a sense of wonder and techno fear from the average person in terms of thinking about an increasing presence of computers and AI in their lives?
Absolutely. I think some people are like, ugh, I'm over computers. Like, just, you know, give me something, you know, more kind of like quote unquote natural. And then I think some people are genuinely curious about the technology. I think most people that interact with this topic are kind of coming from maybe like a popular science background. And a lot of the journalism is very kind of like hype related these days. And so I think people have like a really strange idea of what AI really is. People imagine these kind of like, you know, sentient robots who are doing
XYZ. There's been too many Terminator films and Cambridge Analytica scandals for people to handle.
True. And the Cambridge Analytica, that's a bit more prescient. But the kind of Terminator vision, I mean, we're talking about the 80s. Like, things have changed so much since then. We need a new vision for what AI really is.
And Holly, you've also talked about how you think AI tools will cut costs to make generic music. And as you said, reproducing Bach or something. But it's still useless without innovative humans to push its capabilities, right? So in a sense, you're doing good rather than evil with this material.
Well, I'm just trying to create a different narrative. I mean, music for me is about meaning making. So it doesn't matter if a machine kind of generates like the perfect sequence of kind of intervals or chords. It's like, if it doesn't have any kind of meaning to us silly humans, then it won't kind of like emotionally connect to us. I also really don't want to kind of dethrone myself as a composer. So I'm not trying to create some sort of automated composition program so that I don't have to work anymore. Like, I want to continue pushing myself and working with this technology to see if it can push me into new directions.
I guess it'll be good for making generic things. Like, I know when artists get syncs in ads, it'll be able to replicate, say, a Billie Eilish song rather than an advertising company having to pay to license a Billie Eilish song, right? Something like that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the great kind of secret about artificial intelligence, is it's just human intelligence in aggregate. So it's just a collection of human efforts and human creativity. So if it's able to recreate Billie Eilish, it's been trained on the human effort that went behind a Billie Eilish song. So I think this is like a really big question around attribution and payment and all these kind of things that we already are really bad at in the music industry. I think those things are going to become even more challenging in the future.
So in a sense, it's not the machinery that's the problem, it's the corporations that are going to own them.
Yeah, it's us silly people, for sure.
And Holly, after all this, the songs on Proto still had to work for you as well as songs. There's verses and choruses, so it's not like you stripped this album of any sense of humanity. And is it great to just have those human choir voices for you on songs like Canaan and Evening Shades?
Absolutely. I mean, when I was thinking about artificial intelligence, I was thinking about it as a kind of the most contemporary version of human communication coordination. And so it caused me to kind of look at it on a historical timeline. And I was thinking about the earliest versions of that are really kind of early vocal folk traditions. So I was trying to create kind of a connection between like really old human coordination technology and the newest human coordination technology. So some of the most joyful moments of creating this album was really working with my vocal ensemble. They're all amazing vocalists. I would encourage everyone to check out their solo projects. They all have their own albums and their own projects. And so, yeah, there's a lot of just kind of human interaction. I mean, that's the thing, is like, technology should free us up to be more human together. It shouldn't separate us and close us off from one another. And that's really what we're trying to do with this.
And in a sense, Spawn also replicates what it was like before there was recording technology, because as you say, those old vocal songs, people weren't able to record them centuries ago. So they would pass through people and I guess would morph as each person heard them, almost like Chinese whispers or something.
Absolutely. It's an oral tradition.
And yeah. That, I guess, is what Spawn does as well, because it's kind of mimicking that, but it's not identical.
For sure. I mean, yeah, there's some really interesting research on this, the idea of the voice as a kind of communal instrument and how it doesn't develop by an individual, it develops by a community. And so all that stuff I find really interesting.
Does this just feel like the beginning then? Is that why the album's called Proto? terms of what you can do?
I mean, proto has so many meanings. I can go into that. But yeah, it does feel like the beginning. I mean, hopefully it's the beginning of my career and I'm going to continue working for decades to come.
And hopefully any software developers in Australia can send you their new prototypes to use on the next record if they're listening in.
Oh, I love when developers hit me up. They do it all the time and it's amazing. So yeah, any nerds out there, like, my inbox is open.
Anybody coming to the Spiegel tent tonight, bring your business card and your LinkedIn address, right?
Exactly.
Holly, it's so great to have you in Sydney with Spawn and also performing this show this evening at the Spiegel Tent for Sydney Festival. We'll have a listen to the last song on Proto now, this song called Last Gasp, which has certainly got some great vocal layers about it. This is Holly Herndon on Static. Have a fantastic show tonight and thanks for the chat.
Thanks so much.